Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Pitch is off the plate of Michael A. Taylor, but they got the call.
Oh.
High fly ball, left center field. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. Michael A. Taylor has given the Bucks the lead in the ninth with a 3-run blast.
And if you thought that was bad, wait till we talk about something else that happened off the baseball diamond for the Houston Astros last night. Hello and welcome aboard the Gallant and George radio program on this Tuesday, July 30th of 2024. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. It wasn't enough that the Houston Astros lost a game last night 5-3 to the Pittsburgh Pirates, where Josh Hader allowed yet another home run. What's the tally at now? 9, 10, 69, whatever.
300.
I don't care about the number. I don't even really care that much about Josh Hader. Big time acquisition by Astros GM Dana Brown and the Letterman Jacket, Skull and Bones Society of Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio. Last night, Joe, we were treated to a Lando Calrissian special. For those who don't know, if you watch Star Wars, Lando betrays his best friend, makes a deal with the Empire at Cloud City, sells Han Solo over to Boba Fett. He gets put in carbonite. And thinking to himself, well, I just made a great deal with the Empire that's going to secure Cloud City's future forever. And the deal keeps getting worse and worse all the time. So I'm just going to progress through what happened last night. First off, we find out Jake Bloss has been scratched from a start. Oh, he's probably getting traded. That's neato. Splendid. Maybe they'll get somebody that can actually contribute this season. Then as the day goes on, we find out, oh, okay, the Astros have traded for the Blue Jays' Yusei Kikuchi. Jake Bloss, he's a rookie. He just made it up to the majors after being drafted last year. There's some potential there. Man, that's a steep price for a pitcher who's been pitching in the majors for a while. And then we found out that Joey Loperfido, our friend, the Italian Stallion himself, also was traded. And then we found out, to make matters worse, the cherry on top of a big old turd for Astros fans who were going through it last night is that Will Wagner, son of Billy Wagner, on his birthday, number 26, honestly, he's probably never going to be a major league player, he gets traded too, Joe George.
Yeah, it was a wild ride. I was in an area where I didn't have a lot of cell service last night, so trying to check my Twitter as things were going down was confusing. I went from Jake Bloss has been scratched to trade, and then by the time I left this event I was at, all of a sudden Joey Loperfido and Will Wagner were also part of the deal. It was a roller coaster. And there was not a lot of happy people, I would say, on the social media sphere last night.
Everyone's angry about it. I got my, I guess, vitriol out with a live stream last night. Where are you at here, Joe?
The more I've thought about it, I don't like the trade. It's not about the prospects that they gave up. It's the player they got in return that I don't like. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of giving up three prospects for a player who's only going to have 8 starts for you this year, that unless things go terribly wrong with your first 4 pitchers, he's probably a bullpen guy in the playoffs. I'd rather have prospects than a guy who can pitch out of the bullpen in the playoffs. Just to me, they're more valuable that way. Also, if his season was flipped, I might feel better. His first nine starts this year, he had a 2.6 ERA. That's awesome.
He's had stretches like that before. When I was in Seattle covering him in 2021, he had an awesome May and June, and he ended up being the Mariners' all-star representative, and then he didn't pitch in the game.
Yeah, his last eight starts, he has a 7.75 ERA. Mm-hmm. That's what you're trading for right now. His last eight starts, a guy with over a 7 ERA, and you traded three prospects who, yeah, Joey Loperfido, he's a great outfielder. When everyone wanted him to come up at the beginning of the season, it was about the 10 home runs that he hit, and he was just hitting dingers left and right, and everyone wanted him up to play first base. That obviously did not happen. He might not be more than just a high-level defensive outfielder in Major League Baseball. Clearly, he was struggling. Will Wagner, maybe he was your solution at the start of the season next year. Probably not if Alex Bregman leaves. You know, when they're talking about trading for Isak Paredes and they're talking about other options that they can look into for third base, that to me also gives a signal that they don't believe in Will Wagner. That one I'm fine with. And Jake Bloss, they gassed him up. They brought him up quick, and then they dumped away from him. They were just like, we're done with this guy. Instead of holding strong and trying to develop him, you know, Dana Brown said, like, they can develop pitching. They clearly believe that Jake Bloss was not a guy that they had to keep long term. I just don't really like the player they got in return and don't think it makes the Astros' chances of winning a World Series this year that much better. I really don't.
Nuanced. Not angry. I was wondering what we were going to do today, if we could role play a little bit. Maybe one of us is the good cop, the other one is the bad cop. But I think we're both the by-the-books cop in this situation. Maybe as the show goes on, we'll challenge ourselves. Someone's got to play devil's advocate for it. I'm with you entirely. Yusei Kikuchi, I think he could have done better than that. Dana Brown, who you'll hear from later on in the show, seems to think otherwise. I'll say this about Kikuchi, to what you said, Joe. He has had some stretches where he's been very impressive. I've seen it in Seattle. He has some things that are actually pretty damn impressive as part of his repertoire. I saw a couple of people going through some of the things that he is capable of doing. I think it was Michael Schwab who put these notes out about Kikuchi, why he'll be solid for Houston. 96-mile-per-hour fastball, an 89-mile-per-hour slider, an 87-mile-per-hour changeup, an 83-mile-per-hour curveball. But this is the problem. Clearly the Astros, as you heard from Dana Brown on Sunday, believe that they can turn any pitcher into a competent arm on a regular basis. And we have seen it historically done with all sorts of arms. Obviously, there are some pitching coaches that are gone now, but guys like Gerrit Cole come here, all of a sudden, whoa, what's going on here? Charlie Morton, same kind of deal. There's been a lot of guys who have come here. And I feel like there is an arrogance in the Astros organization that they can turn a pitcher that has this kind of stuff into a more consistent pitcher. But that's where the rental problem pops in. If Kikuchi was under contract next season or something like that for a reasonable deal, I don't think I would hate this. But you're asking essentially in 2 months for the people that are behind the scenes with the Houston Astros to quickly find whatever it's been for Kikuchi that's been an issue with whatever analytics they've got, and you're asking them to solve it quickly. You don't need him to be an ace, but you do need him to be a competent, regular starter. We've seen it with Ronald Blanco this year. We've seen it with Hunter Brown. That means it's not entirely impossible, but you're asking a lot out of your own coaching to get the absolute most out of him for the next couple of months, because I think this will be a rental. It's what you said. Those prospects, I'm so bleep the prospects. I don't care at all about the prospects. I really just want to continue to have the ALCS run. That's stupid and short-sighted for sure. But after about a day to think about this, or maybe not a day, maybe like 12 hours or so, I'm a lot more muted on the pushback to this trade than I was late last night when I did a live stream.
Yeah. All of a sudden, a Twitter notification on my phone at like 12:15.
Oh, you have push notifications for my tweets?
No, for your YouTube channel.
Oh.
Paul Gallant on YouTube.
That's just cool. To keep an eye on.
And all of a sudden, it just goes, Paul Gallant's live. And I was like, oh, Paul.
Yeah,
like,
I went to bed at 2.
I was like, Paul is like up late tonight.
Yeah, not honestly optimal, but hey, you know, we did our job.
I think the trade is it's a bad trade. Now, in defense of Dana Brown.
Look at us.
A lot of these trades are bad, it seems. Across Major League Baseball, the price is outrageous at the deadline so far this year. And that probably goes to what's happening with the expanded playoffs, that all these teams are competing for a limited player pool. And it's driving up the price on all of this stuff. And when you don't have, you know, an elite farm system, you might have to make, you know, instead of trading one guy for a rental, you're trading three guys for a rental. Does it concern you at all about the prospects, though, Paul? Because I'm kind of with you. Does it concern you who made the trade? That James Click,
yeah, that
who
one.
Was here.
That's the worst part of this whole thing. Is James Click doing a deal with him is effing stupid. It's effing stupid. This guy hates you. He hates you. He might not say it publicly, but James Click wants this city to burn to the ground in his brain. He wouldn't actually commit acts of terrorism or anything like that. But he wants everything to burn to the ground. You know it, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we're all...
Like who screwed? Leaves a job yeah. and like on the way out isn't like, I wish great things. That doesn't
he
happen.
He got screwed.
He got screwed. He got fired.
I mean, they won the World Series and they're like, yeah, kiss our ass. We don't need you anymore. So, of course, if you're making a deal with James Click, he's going to ask for a little bit more. It's just natural. And afterwards, Dana Brown said, hey, this is just the price. We were going to be asked to throw a lot out there. And it was a lot. Like, that's my big issue is it's a lot for a rental. Are any of these prospects, to me, like guys who are going to be your cornerstones? I don't know about that. They might be contributors. But you gave them a lot for a rental, and you traded with James Click.
Yes. And it's the player. It's not the prospect. Like, poor Marine... Like, for the love of God, listen to what we're saying. We're not talking about the loss of prospects like it's the end of the world. It's the player.
He's generalizing everybody.
It's the player.
Some of the Twitch too.
Yeah, it's the player that we don't love. And it is a lot of players. I'm fine with trading Joey Loprofito. I think the way he got gassed up was outrageous. People were acting like he was going to save the day.
Well, he was. He's an Italian.
Yeah,
Italian
least,
stallion.
Hey, at least they only traded one Italian. They didn't trade him and Eric Getty. But it's fine that they traded these prospects. I don't like the player they got back. I don't like bringing in a guy that over his last eight starts has a 7+ ERA.
Yeah,
he's not what the Astros need.
He is capable of great stuff. So is everyone in the majors. That was everyone. Sean?
I don't think I would have a problem with Kikuchi if there was a second year. I think even like everything about Kikuchi, I'm just like, cool. Like he can be your starter while you're hurt. Maybe before the guys that are hurt comes back, someone else gets hurt. That's kind of how it goes with the Astros. So there is a chance that he just starts. He's in the rotation for the rest of the season. Maybe starts a playoff game. Maybe. If you make it to the ALCS.
There's a very good chance, though, that he is more important than maybe we're letting on.
Yeah, because there's a chance that, like, Blanco or Brown, like, falls off the table.
Specifically
that,
Blanco.
That
Blanco
one of these guys
has not been great.
Yeah, one of these guys that either it's their first time being a full-time starter, like Blanco, or their first time being a successful full-time starter, like Hunter Brown. One of these guys might come down to earth. So even when Verlander and Garcia come back, there might still be room for Kikuchi in the rotation. It's just like you said, you're getting eight regular season starts out of this guy, maybe. Like that doesn't seem like it's enough for just the amount and the fact that Loprofito and Blas were on the major league roster. So it's not like you're trading 19-year-olds for a win now move.
You're trading guys who made it to the show that made it due to injury, but still made it to the show pretty quickly.
Yes. Kikuchi, you're not adding like a solid starter and also a little bit more depth because you're adding an arm. It's like, no, you're at a net zero as far as arms in the rotation is. It's just this guy you'd believe is going to be better than Blas, even though for the last month is pretty close.
I mean, he will probably be better than Blas. And as King of Twitch and Junior Bronco bring up on the Twitch, Pedro Leon might be better than Joey Loprofito.
Maybe.
I mean, the way he's playing in the minors right now, he's hitting well over 300. Joey Loprofito wasn't really ever doing that.
Loprofito had 43 strikeouts and 108 at-bats. This is not me saying the guy sucked. He came up here, and he was a hell of a defender. One of the best defenders I've seen come straight into the majors and just make web jam after web jam after web jam after web jam. But he was a defensive player for you. You were looking at Joey Loperfido optimally in the playoffs as somebody who's coming in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning to play some defense. Maybe, you know, because he strikes out a lot. He's quick with the at-bats. Bloss, we have yet to see Bloss look like he belongs at the major league level. It is not his fault that he got thrust into that position already. But with a little bit of time, I feel like the prospects given up, you're not freaking out about any one of them. It's more, you traded three prospects who the Astros clearly like in some way, shape, or form for a guy that's a rental who's been bad. And that is where I think a lot of the Astros fans' merited frustration stems from. And if you want to weigh in on this, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN979HD2. We've got a podcast. And guys, guess what? Did you know, fun fact, that Yusei Kikuchi almost got me canceled? You'll find out how next. Stick around.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The Astros traded Jake Bloss, Joey Loperfido, and Will Wagner, two prospects who have made it to the major leagues, one who has yet to get there and probably never was going to, honestly, if he's at 26 years old at this moment in time, barring somebody leaving the roster. They traded all three of those prospects for Yusei Kikuchi, and a lot of people were freaking out about it last night. The Astros even had an impromptu press conference with Dana Brown on Space City Home Network. Dana explained why things were so expensive to get Yusei Kikuchi.
The market right now is such. So, you know, a lot of these guys are, you know, getting, they have high price tags. You know, in order to get a major league starter with that type of arm, I mean, you're going to have to give up some pretty good players that hurt. You know, and it's pretty difficult to give up young talent. But at the end of the day, you know, we're trying to really stabilize our rotation so that we can get back to the postseason and potentially get deep into the postseason.
Kikuchi stabilizing your rotation, I don't know about that. I feel like he's an innings vulture. And you need that because your bullpen's overworked.
Yeah, stabilizing's not the word I would use.
Yeah.
I do think he strengthens it.
I don't know. I feel like, Joe, we now have a starter who you expect to last five innings.
Yes.
You don't know what you're going to get over those five innings, but you're expecting him to get through five as opposed to what they've been doing with Bloss and what they did last night with Taylor Scott, who had the three innings, and then they bring in, who's this new guy? I don't know. Fellow McFellow Pants.
King?
No, the second guy.
Oh, I don't remember his name either.
Yeah, Paul. Otto, Orto.
Well, good thing that since the start of June, Paul, he's gone over five innings seven times.
Hell yeah.
Out of 11 starts.
Well, I mean, that's more than you'd expect out of Jake Bloss, you know?
Yeah, I mean, his ERA at the start of June, after his first start in June, went up to a 3.66, and now it's a 4.75. So he's had a rough 2 months, and it's hopefully what you were saying at the beginning with the coaching staff and everything. My hope is that when they were evaluating Kikuchi, is that they saw a mechanical issue that they thought was an easy fix to get him back to where he started his season, and that it's not going to be brain surgery to get this guy back on track.
Important to note, though, you talk about brain surgery. Okay, learning Japanese isn't quite brain surgery, but you now have a layer of communication that needs to be addressed. Like you're gonna have to find somebody who you trust to communicate with, Kikuchi, etc. And
hopefully,
we'll see.
Not the guy that Ohtani had.
Well, yeah, you don't want that. That's for sure.
First Japanese player to pitch for the Astros. That surprised me.
I was thinking about that with just Japanese players in general, because all I have is Matsui and for the Astros, Matsui and the guy on the 2017 Astros.
Yep.
Yep. Okoye?
Yes.
Okoye?
I think that's right.
Nori?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was like racking my brains. Like, is there another Japanese? Like, it's pretty rare that the Astros have a Japanese player.
So,
therefore, dot, 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 Yusei Kikuchi will. I have no.
Yeah.
It's just an observation.
No, it's an interesting one. Yeah. And I mean, if that's what the Astros are looking at, they're saying to themselves, hey, over the next 2 months, we can fix this. Well, this is an added barrier. And by the way, he's a rental. So, going into next year, I heard John and Lance talking about this morning. If he actually is good down the stretch, is he going to get a Rafael Montero kind of contract? And, I mean, God, that's terrifying, too. Here is Dana Brown, general manager of the Houston Astros, last night talking about what he envisions Yusei Kikuchi's role as.
We see Kikuchi as a guy who could really strike guys out. We see him as a guy who could really log some innings for us because we're going to need that. And we see him as a guy who could pitch in the postseason with the power that he brings, you know, throwing from 93 to 98. And so this addition for us, you know, we feel like this could be a pretty good addition.
He does have gas, but again, you need an Astros coach, Alex Bregman, somebody to talk with this guy and to figure out what the hell's going wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Alex Bregman can be like he was Hunter Brown's problem solver.
Oh, what? There's an article on The Athletic about it. You doubting Alex Bregman? Did you hear that he is a savant when it comes to baseball?
Yeah, him and Justin Verlander. They're the
brought
ones
up
that
once
are
a week
really
on the broadcast.
They're really going to be the ones that that fix Kikuchi here. Like, we'll see how it goes.
We do have a note from both Tim, who just called in, and Dell actually had this one. That Nori Aoki actually pitched for the Astros in 2017, even though he was a left fielder. It was one of those things where position player pitches in a blowout. So he will not be the first Japanese player to pitch for the Astros. He's the first Japanese pitcher to pitch for the Astros.
There we go. Breaking ground.
Yeah.
The Astros should put up a graphic on their Twitter.
Speaking of that graphic, the lettering was so small. It's like
their press release about it. Oh my God, and it got crushed.
It's like they were scared.
Yeah.
I didn't really enjoy the PR garbage.
What garbage?
That they put out. They sent out their PR email last night.
Oh, is it just all
about
the
Kikuchi
trade? Stats? Hit me with some.
They gassed up Kikuchi quite a bit.
Yeah.
I actually thought what they did to Jake Bloss and Joey Loperfido was super disrespectful.
Whoa. They disrespected our sweet Prince Joey?
I
don't care about Jake. I'll be honest.
I just think putting in there that Loperfido hit .236 in 38 games for the Astros this season with 2 home runs and 16 RBIs is just an unnecessary thing.
No, those are his numbers. It would have been bad if they brought up the strikeout.
But like, why didn't they bring up his Sugarland stats? Like, those are good. Oh, Jake Bloss is minor league stats.
They got to hide those. There's still a cover-up going on because of Jose Abreu and his time on the Astros.
And it's, hey, I'm not a minor league player anymore. I'm a major league
player. You're right. But, like, putting that Jake Bloss at a 6.94 ERA.
He did.
I know he did.
He did. I don't miss him at all. When that deal happened, I was like, all right, yeah, I'm fine with that.
If it was just going to be Bloss.
If it was just Bloss, I'd be totally fine.
Or Bloss and Wagner for Kikuchi.
Oh, I'd be totally fine with that. It's Loperfido we developed an attachment to, and perhaps it was an irrational one.
I think that's the main crux of why the Astros fans are so upset.
Is the fact
that it's not guys that are in single A. It is guys that they saw on their TVs.
100%.
It is guys that we know the name of.
And he made some great plays out there.
Yes, that get traded. And for a rental, and for a guy that doesn't have any name value really whatsoever to the fan. I know he's been a pitcher for like 10 years, but no one's like, you know what? I remember back in 2019, Kikuchi was nice. No one says that.
No one says that? Oh, okay. By the way, I did want to share my story about how I may have been canceled by something that I said about Yusei Kikuchi. And I say this because, listen, if you really want to put on your tinfoil hat, you could argue that this is the reason that I no longer work in Seattle, because this happened within a week of me getting clipped. So I had been calling Kikuchi deferential all season. It was my polite way of saying that when he pitches against good hitters, he craps his pants. He's scared. There's another word for that I could have used. And since I was working for a station that was partners with the Seattle Mariners. I wanted to glad handle saying that Yusei Kikuchi is scared. Didn't want to say that.
Yeah.
So I said, he's deferential. And this person, I guess, woke up listening to our station. His name is Bawang Boy, Manny Snackyow. Nice. Got into my car listening to the game from last night. The radio's still on. They're talking about how Kikuchi has struggled because he's deferential to haters, to hitters. Your racially coded, i.e. racist language sucks, Gallant says.
I think I'm confused.
I was too.
And you got...
This was one of the last moments in Seattle where I was like this, and someone getting mad at me because I said that there was a hooker outside Chick-fil-A, and they were like, don't you dare assume her story. And by the way, eating a Chick-fil-A, no wonder you didn't work out here. I was like, all right, kiss my ass. But this story right here, like where you're assuming racism because of the word deferential, which I guess there's this idea that Asian men are deferential, and
okay,
it's problematic to say that. And I was like, well, did you want me to call him a P-word? Like, he's scared against Aaron Judges of the world? And honestly, that moment in where I felt like he was deferential to Aaron Judge specifically happened right after those first those 2 months that he had where he was really good, much like the 2 months at the beginning of this year mm-hmm. where he was really good. And that's the problem for Kikuchi. It seems like he can put together a good month. But can he put together a good season? No. All right, you have it for a couple of months. Great. But you got to figure out what's been wrong with him of late. And you're hoping that you can figure it out by the postseason. And then in the postseason, I guess, because of that velocity that he throws with, you're hoping that he's actually going to be a reliable bullpen arm. I don't know.
Yeah, and you hope that's – you kind of hope that's all he is. I will say I just get this feeling that he is going to be more important in the playoffs because I'm just not – I have very little confidence that Ronald Blanco is going to have a good enough stretch the rest of the season. You know, he's going to blow past his most innings pitch in his career. His last couple starts have not been his best. This to me does scream we have bigger plans for this guy. And he is going to be a more important part. Also, we can't bank on Justin Verlander at this point. In theory, he's coming back. Just the way this season has gone for the Astros with injuries, you can't predict that Luis Garcia and Justin Verlander are going to make an impact for this team this year. They both should. At least one of them should with Verlander, but maybe not. And that's part of the reason why you do have to make this trade. So,
yeah,
we'll see. People don't like Dana Brown, though.
This is true.
He is a text line called him Dana O'Brien. I think that's uncalled for.
No one that he traded was DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And neither of these guys were first round picks like he traded for Laremy Tunsil. So I agree with that. Dana's taken shrapnel for the people upstairs and moves that they have done. The hater deal is looking bad right now too, though. I mean, God, dog, come on. I almost said GD. I mean... Who else saw that coming? Who else saw that coming?
Yeah.
I saw it coming. I was like, oh, you know what? Presley had a Stresley moment. He actually had like 15 good innings in a row. And he gives up that. And I was like, you know what? We're due for a bad bullpen night. And there it is, Josh Hader. Ay, caramba.
Yeah. When it was tied, I was like, oh. It was tied. And then I saw Hader coming in. I was like, okay, I know how this goes.
Well, you would think, because he just came off an appearance, though, where he got. You know, he got out of it in a non-safe situation. We talked about it yesterday, over the weekend.
That makes it more likely, though.
You can't have two in a row.
Yeah.
You can only have one of those at a time.
Yeah.
One a week.
That was the outlier there. That was the lucky one.
Maybe one a month.
Should Josh Hader cut his hair? King of
no.
is calling for it. Well listen, you know what?
We're not
new
the Yankees.
New me?
I do...
Not as a punishment, like in Last Samurai. I mean, just like a new me.
To switch things up?
Yeah, switch things up.
Like when Alex Bregman shaved his mustache mid-game?
Or didn't Presley did that, right? Mm-hmm. Presley did that this year, where he shaved his beard. I do think if you're not going to perform, you can't be like, look at me with my hair guy. So,
You sure you want to say that?
Yeah.
What happens confident. If you stop performing?
That
we call
won't
you,
happen.
Do we say, Sean, you have to shave your head?
I know that won't happen. That's why I can say it.
Okay. You're confident. You're not Josh Hader.
Yes, this is a
thought off.
Comment of how much I believe in myself.
Okay.
Josh Hader, I'm not sure if I believe in him.
Maybe he needs a man bun. Although he can't really do a man bun with a hat.
That's worse.
He does. He has the man bun often when he have the hat on.
How about that Viking hair? You know, where you got the it's essentially like
braid.
It's kind of a mullet hawk.
I say, should we turn it into just a straight up mullet?
I gotcha. Yeah.
Nah, I think he's a little too stylish for that.
That's all right.
He likes these Space City uniforms, and you saw that ridiculous jacket that he wore when he did his introductory press conference. I'm even saying that. I'm saying that's a ridiculous jacket.
I remember that.
And too. I'm bold in fashion. It's brown crazy. And blue, dude. What are you doing?
I don't remember anything from introductory press conferences normally. I remember that jacket.
Yeah.
When they said on the TV broadcast, I think it was on Sunday, that his favorite uniform was a Space City jersey, mm-hmm. Red flag. Huge red flag.
That is not a
like that. That's not. It's not.
Some people like it. I don't understand.
Like the logo and I like the top. I hate that it's all one color.
Yes, the hat's fine. The jersey's okay. It's his favorite. That's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
You can say that it's good or that you like it. It being your favorite uniform, come on, dude. Lie, pander. Say the Tequila Sunrise. And they should bring it back. That's how you pander.
On Yusei Kikuchi night, yeah. When he first start, the Tequila Sunrises are out. Or bring back those blue and gold ones from the Bagwell Vigio era.
I feel like they're close to bringing those.
I've been thinking about like when's this happening.
They've
been trying to soft launch it.
There's
for a
giveaway
bit.
This weekend.
Yeah, I was gonna say they're doing
for Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, it's Kyle Tucker
in the blue and gold.
I saw
giveaway. Interesting.
I saw a funny joke that it was the last time Kyle Tucker played. They wore these uniforms. I do think they're soft launching. I think they're coming up, they're going to bring back those uniforms.
Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, a rousing edition of In Case You Missed It, everything from the weekend in the last couple of days that you might have missed. Hawk Tua girl have her 15 seconds expired, and there's a new Hawk Tua man. And he's taking the Olympics by storm. Oh, man, what a heartthrob. What a hunk. We'll talk about him next. Stick around.
I want to tell you about my friends at O Athletic. 767 North Shepherd in the Heights is where you can find them. You can check them out at oathletic.com. They offer over 100 classes per week early in the morning. They pick back up around 4:30, so you can go right after you get off of work and get a workout in a class setting whenever you really want. Whatever kind of class you want is available to you when you do something like powerlifting, agility training, or you want to adventure into a boxing class, Brazilian jiu-jitsu class. All of that is available on their class schedule that you can see at oathletic.com. You can sign up for personal training as well. That schedule also to your accommodation, whatever it is, 1 to 5 times a week. It's totally your call. And all the recovery they have is there for you as well. From the sauna to the steam room to the endless pool, everything you need is there for you at O Athletic. It's the gym for me. It should be the gym for you. Check them out, oathletic.com and 767 North Shepherd in the Heights.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not. And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
We will talk more about the Yusei Kikuchi trade, the Astros' newest player. And on top of that, we will talk Houston Texans training camp day number 10. Gotta say, the offense is starting to give me some concerns. But more on that later. It's time for the Hawk Tua girl to move aside. Because the United States of America have a new champion sex symbol. At least per all of the broads online. I can call them that.
Yes.
Don't look at me like that. Women. Strong, powerful, independent women. They are obsessed with Steven Niederosek, a United States gymnast who is the pommel horse guy. I don't know what that is. All I know is this man is clean shaven, has glasses, and wavy brown hair. A lot of people are asking, Paul, are you into the pommel horse guy? I don't know. But the fact that I'm asking the question should have you knowing that this is an objectively attractive man. And the ladies, they're screaming for him online, Joe. Like they're screaming for, like they were screaming for Jeremy Pena after the 2022 World Series. Oh, Steven! Pommel my horse! Steven! Oh, your trapezoids! Your biceps! Your back! Joe?
Yep.
Have any thoughts on that?
You got like Clark Kent vibes here with the nerdy glasses.
Yeah, the girls like the Timothy Shamalama Ding Dong look these days.
Yeah.
That's what his name is, right?
So he's the biggest story of the Olympics so far?
100%.
For the ladies.
For the ladies, yeah. Yes. Listen, I mean, the people who are watching the Olympics, they don't really care about sports. Like, they should be focusing on this amazing 61-year-old ping pong player. See this? You hear about this?
No, I missed this one.
You hear about this? Table tennis. Not ping pong, my bad. But Ni Zilan, who is 61 years old, is smoking, folks, in tennis table.
61? That's got to be the oldest person in the Olympics.
61. Yep. And what country is she doing this for? Does not say. I'm assuming that she is not doing this for Russia. That's all I can think as an assumption. But hell yeah. 61-year-old crushing in at table tennis. Are you good at table tennis?
I'm okay.
I think I'm okay as well. One of my friends is just an absolute terror. And playing against him, I felt like made me better, but I never came close to beating him. It'd be great if I got like if I lost like 21-3.
It's a fun game, but I'm not like it's not my best like arcade style game.
No,
I like the foosball.
Mm.
She's Chinese, by the way.
Chinese, okay. Again, I don't see countries.
No,
I don't see color.
Do you think she's deferential?
I don't see race. No, I don't think she is. Okay. I think she's kicking ass. Okay.
Just ask.
She's not Yusei Kikuchi throwing to Aaron Judge. She's 61 years old
she's
going up against kids.
She's taking two of these Olympians.
These kids are probably a third of her age up against her.
How do you feel like you advance to the Olympics and you lose to a 61-year-old woman? Like, I just feel like that's going to be a little deflating.
It'd be tough.
Well, you can go back to the Olympic Village and you know,
get those
your frustrations out.
Yeah.
Although, I wonder if the ping pong players are getting laid in the Olympic Village. I feel like they'd be pretty low on the totem pole. No offense.
Do you think they lie about their sport? Like on their Olympic Tinder profile?
Archery, actually.
I would.
Because you have to choose one that's not like, that's not, you can look at you and like, obviously you're not a sprinter. Like the table tennis bodies don't look like the sprinter bodies. So you'd have to go with another one where it is like, it's a little bit cooler, but it's not outside the realm of possibility.
Would you rather be a breakdancer or a table tennisser?
Breakdancer.
Breakdancer, because, yeah.
I can use breakdancing in more situations. I need a table tennis to be there, and then I have to have somebody actually watch me play table tennis so I can demonstrate my value. Breakdancing, I can just drop right in front of you, Joe, put a cardboard mat on the floor, and just serve your ass. You got served!
And there's also some, I feel like there's some skills that would transfer to other places if you're spinning around like that. Also, Forrest Gump was good at table tennis.
Well, he was good at everything.
Yeah, but he was. If Forrest Gump was good at my sport, I'd be like,
you're being very ableist.
Yeah, but he's a football. He was a great football player.
Forrest Gump was a great kick returner. He was a great kick returner.
He was a good kick returner.
He was super fast. Great kick returner. Great kick returner.
He was Devin Hester before Devin Hester.
He couldn't turn.
He ran out the back.
He can't turn. He didn't know which way he was going.
Didn't matter.
Didn't need to turn.
Score touchdowns.
Kevin Durant is crushing it at the Olympics, but he is still taking time to do drive-bys on the internet. This time, mad at Keyshawn Johnson, because Keyshawn Johnson said that the Warriors would have been just as good with Paul Pierce as they were with Kevin Durant. My God, Keyshawn, what are you doing, man?
Is he wrong, though? KD's whole thing is
dude,
like...
Dude, it's Kevin Durant. I love Paul Pierce. Kevin Durant in a heartbeat. It's like close. Kevin Durant's one of the best players ever.
That Warriors team was so good that putting in a Hall of Fame player... Like, I just don't know how... Like, yeah, they're way better with Kevin Durant, but they still probably won a championship.
Kevin Durant's 6'10 and can shoot threes.
Like, I know.
I love Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce is an elbow shooter and okay from three. I think his three-point percentage all the time is probably better than okay, but... No,
he did shoot. Some of that is... era where he just he came into a league where they didn't really shoot him, but
he's great driving to the hoop, and he was great from like the elbow and in. Honestly, there's a lot of like the best parts of James Harden's game were a lot like Paul Pierce's game, where it was kind of ugly, but it worked.
You could make the case that they win more championships with Paul Pierce because Paul Pierce has shown in his actual past that he's like, no, I'm cool with the super team thing. I don't mind that. I guess he won't. Kevin Durant also won Finals MVP. They both won Finals MVP. But it did feel like Kevin Garnett was viewed as like the leader of those Boston Celtics teams, and that is directly what Kevin Durant did not like about his setup in Golden State, which is he wins the Finals MVP. He is kind of the best player on the team, but it's still viewed as Steph's team. Mm-hmm. Paul Pierce had no problem with that, so maybe they win more. Mm. I don't think this is what Keyshawn Johnson was saying, by the way.
Durant's clapback's pretty good, though, I gotta say.
He was clapping back on people that are saying that they should play FIBA rules, like the NBA FIBA rules.
He must be pretty bored at the Olympic Village.
He must be so
bored. Yeah. Durant said if the Jets would have taken Jonathan Ogden, Marvin Harrison, Ray Lewis, or Eddie George number one, they would have been better off. ... I hate hypotheticals. But he is right! If the Jets took Ray Lewis,
he's very correct. Like that's a good clap.
Do you think? Never mind. He definitely 100% googled 1996 NFL draft. It was like Jonathan Ogden was in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, look, Keyshawn was like the most loud player in that draft. But I mean,
he's probably
not even a Hall of Famer.
Ray Lewis might have him for louder.
I don't think Keyshawn's a Hall of Famer, is he? I mean, so
no, I don't think he is.
I know he had
Hall,
a book.
Hall of Very Good.
Yeah, he's not. There's no way he's in the Hall of Fame.
Keyshawn Johnson, give me the damn ball. I never read it. Anyway, continuing. One last thing. The Hawk Tua girl, her 15 minutes are done. See her at the concert? She was at a concert of some sort. I don't know for who. And she was asked to introduce the musician. And she announced him. And she was like, yeah. And no one made a noise. Things are so bad for her that now she's on Bill Maher. Like, she's getting crowded out on Bill Maher.
Yeah, she's doing all these interviews, and, like, I'm seeing it all over social media, and this is...
It's over. But you know what? Credit to her.
She should have just immediately started doing a podcast. That's what she...
But even then, she's boring.
Yes. That's the thing, is that she can't talk about herself on the podcast. She has to have a podcast where she, like...
Have some takes.
Yes. But I've also seen those interview clips, and I say clips because I make it through 10 seconds, because it's all, like... about my reaction to, or my family's reaction to being famous. I'm like, I don't care about this.
But here's the thing, though. It doesn't matter. I mean, she's got the following already. She can just post absolutely bland, horrible content for the rest of her life, and she's going to make money off
that,
it.
That is true. But I was trying to make money with some honor, but yes, she could just sell her Instagram.
Can we get her on the show?
Sure. We can try
that. Probably. Got that in the budget, middle management show?
Yeah, I wonder how much they're paying her for each appearance.
We can offer her lots of gift cards.
True.
I think we can wait 6 months and probably get it for free.
Yeah. She'll be irrelevant in the next 2 months.
Oh, man. That's not nice. She'll never be irrelevant to me.
She won't be irrelevant. I feel like 10 years from now, we'll be like, remember the Hawk Tua girl? Just same way we were like, remember Charlie Bit My Finger?
Yeah, but yes. Yes, that's a good way to put it.
She'll be just like a clip, but like a funny clip. Like she'll be like the people from the Leprechaun video.
But that's what sometimes it should be. Like you're viral.
Yeah.
Just because you go viral doesn't mean you should all of a sudden be a star like they're trying to make this girl.
Well, you know, while we're thinking about like what we could give to the Hawk Tua girl, if you're listening, I know you think I'm hot. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. And 713-780-3776, caller number 3. Hawk Tua girl, if you're listening, we could get you a $50 gift card to J Bar M. How about that? You can win that yourself, too, if you're listening right now.
Yeah.
Seriously, caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. We would like the Hawk Tua girl to call, but you can also win a $50 gift certificate to J Bar M.
Anyone can win this as long as you're calling number
3. Anyone can win.
Not just Hawk Tua girl.
Anyone can win. J Bar M is the best. We love them. All right, so caller number 3, you get in. There it is, Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yusei Kikuchi, the Astros acquired him, giving up a lot to get him. There is a take online that I have seen as a pushback against this trade that I find soft. I'll probably bring it back in Soft Boys tomorrow. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter in promo code BET975, and you know what happens? You're going to get an awesome deposit bonus of up to $1,000 right away. You can bet on it. You can use it to bet on anything, blackjack, poker with live dealers. You can bet on the Astros baseball match tonight against those Pirates of Pittsburgh. How are you feeling? Last night was a bit of a downer, was it not? The Astros are 1.5 run favorites. Hunter Brown, he's been pretty good of late, against Bailey Falter. What kind of a name is that? Come on. What are we doing here? Also, the over-under is 8. I feel like we're due for a game with some runs, seeing as the Astros haven't been scoring many of late. So you can bet on that at mybookie.ag. You can bet on the Olympics. You can bet on the election. You can bet on anything at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with that awesome promo code, whether you're a first-time subscriber or a returning subscriber. BET975 at mybookie.ag.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Astros traded for former Toronto Blue Jays left-hander Yusei Kikuchi. He is 4-9 on the year with a 4.75 ERA. They gave up a lot to get him. 3 prospects: Jake Bloss and Joey Loperfido, who we've seen at the major league level, and Will Wagner, the son of Billy Wagner, who seems still like he's got a ways to go before he gets to that level. I've seen an interesting narrative, Joe, online in response to the move, and everyone's angry. I think people are starting to mellow out a little bit, but there's some people who are acting like this trade is going to disrupt the Astros' chemistry. That is some of the softest bleep I've ever heard.
That's great. That's a crazy bad take.
I can't believe that some Astros fans are operating in the same way that the Seattle Mariners and their fans were when the Astros got Kendall Graveman from Seattle. How many people remember that? You probably remember the Graveman side of it. Hey, we're bringing in Graveman. And also taking on Rafael Montero. And that deal ends up being one where, did Graveman really do much for the Astros? No, but in Seattle, it was like someone died. The clubhouse was angry, had a little mini revolt after it happened. And this is the kind of stuff that just happens when you're a good baseball team. You are going to trade some pieces. It's hard. It sucks. But this idea that, Joe, you're disrupting the clubhouse by trading a minor leaguer and another minor leaguer who were put up on the major league roster by necessity due to injury, it's soft, man. You can't operate because you don't want to hurt your players' feelings.
No, you can't. Like the Kendall Graveman one, I can understand why there would be some frustration from Seattle, because they were pretty good at the time when they made that move. It really just, that was more about like, hey, we're trying to win. We're not that far out of first place. Why are we trading a good player? For the Astros, it's like the players like Joey. I'm sure they did. And I'm sure they like Jake Bloss for his cup of coffee that he was with the team. But the idea that you can't trade players because it's going to hurt people's feelings is crazy. Like this isn't trading, you know, Alex Bregman or even Chaz McCormick. If it was Chaz and you wanted to make that argument, 2% of me would listen. 2%.
That's even too much.
Probably. But
he's not playing well this year.
It's the idea, like, this is part of baseball. It sucks.
I remember I was baseball explaining it to Seattleites. I was like, guys, if you're good, you're going to trade some of your good pieces to get better pieces.
Yeah. Like I'm not worried about the clubhouse culture in Sugarland. If I'm Dana Brown.
Or at the major league level. I mean, they know this. This is part of it. And I will tug at your heartstrings a little bit. This is Joey Loperfido.
Yeah.
After the game.
This is sad.
This actually bums me out, like, more than anything that happened last night. Here's poor Joey Loperfido with Brian McTaggart and other Astros media after he found out about the trade.
Around the deadline, you know, these things always can happen. And, you know, I knew we were, you know, probably going to make some moves. Got emotional for sure saying goodbye to the guys, just because, you know, this place feels like home. I wish everybody could, you know, be treated the way I was treated and coached the way I was coached by these guys. So loved it here. Felt like home. Excited to go to Toronto and be a Blue Jay, but just tried to thank everybody and thank the fans. Just for treating me so well. Made a lot of awesome memories here in a short period of time.
Oh, poor Joey.
I did feel bad watching that.
He even had a Joey chant in the game.
Yeah.
You know, talk about a bad ninth inning and eighth inning. I mean, Presley blows the lead. You got Joey chances. Josh Hader's on the hill. And by the way, like two batters later, Hader allows a three-run homer.
He did catch the first pitch from Willie Fritz yesterday before the game. So
go Cougs.
The way it's been framed on social media is that he caught the first pitch and then went back to the dugout and got told he was traded.
Oh, man.
I don't know if that's totally true or not, but
I mean,
get that, in the portal, son.
Yeah,
and then you're trading an Astros legend's son on his birthday, his 26th birthday. Come on, what are we doing here?
I think 0.0 people would get mad about Will Wagner getting traded
on his birthday, though.
The birthday thing would have been funny if he was Will Johnson.
Definitely not.
Will Wagner.
Look, the Toronto Blue Jays, they just made this deal because they are not a complete baseball team unless they have a son of a legendary Houston Astros player on their roster. They cut Kevin Biggio. They had to replace him at some point. Now they have Will Wagner.
One in, one out.
Yeah.
I saw something really funny by one of our ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 loyal listeners, Dustin Bennett, who tweeted the back of Yusei Kikuchi's baseball card, and there's a quote by Kevin Biggio about Kikuchi. And I was like, get the hell out of here. And it was on the back of the baseball card. It's Kevin Biggio waking on Yusei Kikuchi.
Do you think Jeff Bagwell walked into Jim Crane's office with that baseball card? Sir, I think there's something you should see. This Kikuchi guy.
Like Dana Brown tries to stop him. No, no, no. And Jeff just shoves him into a locker.
Yeah.
Where Fergus's skeleton's just like lying there.
Oh, man. These guys are just... People are just eviscerating Dana Brown today. They do not like this trade.
They don't like Dana Brown.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear.
Bad for him. I mean, look, he hasn't done anything that bad. The Hader move was reactionary to Kendall Graveman getting injured, and it's not looking like it's going to age well. But there's a part of me that wonders just how much of a say he actually has. And as described to me, I mean, yesterday, do you blame Dana Brown for that trade when some believe this is what happened in one sentence? A scouting director playing GM panicked. He's a scouting director. He's not a general manager. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying this is the reality. You can only deal with what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the market's so crazy right now for a starting pitcher that it's not the end of the world. This trade, I really don't think it is. I just don't like the player they got in return. If they could have made this trade for someone else, I think we all would feel differently. Honestly, if Josh Hader doesn't ruin that game last night, maybe everyone's just in like a little bit of a better mood at this point.
It was a perfect storm of poop. It was just a big old poop storm.
It's the opposite of last year. Last year, you got Justin Verlander, and then Frommer threw a no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
This year, you traded away some young players that people like, and your $95 million closer blew a game.
Yeah, it's not good.
Not fun.
Not good. It is Gallant and George. He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call and to text in. You can join us on our Twitch at ESPN975. I got a little dyslexic there for a moment. On YouTube as well at ESPN Houston. Coming up next, some more of your reaction to the Astros trade for Yusei Kikuchi. And also in this hour, I'll tell you what happened at Houston Texans training camp today. I'm a little concerned. Stick around. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.